Before God created civil government, he created family. Before he created even the church, God created family. Families play a vital role in training the next generation. Commit today to nurturing and supporting families, especially your own. Families that are committed to God and each other can play a vital role in transforming our churches, cities, states, and nation.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
On Wednesday of this week, we'll mark the anniversary of 9/11. And those who were alive and old enough to remember those days know exactly what happened and how our hearts felt that day. And we remember, you may remember, how people were going to church. People were praying. Even not just on Sunday, but throughout the middle of the week, churches were actually packed with people praying and crying out to God for this country. Sporting events were canceled, including NFL games for that next Sunday. It was a major time where we had even Republicans and Democrats praying, congressmen praying together and singing God Bless America. But we know that really a lot of times, sadly, that was short-lived. And people went back to their old ways. Certainly, we went to war and we prosecuted the war, but really, most Americans, other than 9/11, we kind of forget what actually happened. And really, the warning that we received from this, where we were given an opportunity by God to repent of our sins and turn back to Him. On the Sunday following that 9/11/2001, I preached, we all preached, my dad preached, my brother preached, I preached, and my message started out with this. The Bible tells us in Psalm 127:1, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. The United States of America has enjoyed the greatest of God's blessings and protection over the years. The Lord has guarded our cities and our country from attack from within and without. Yet the Lord wasn't guarding our city 9/11. And many may ask, why was he not guarding our city? I will say that it is because we as a nation have left his commandments. We as a nation have departed from his principles, the moral foundation that this nation was founded upon. Many, even those in church, have thought that America is so great that God couldn't possibly fulfill his purpose in this earth without America. The Israelites once thought that about themselves. After 30 or 40 or even 70 years of captivity for some of them, they realized that God can accomplish his purpose without his chosen people, and we're not even his chosen people. Now, the church is, Christians are, but God hasn't come down and said, America is my chosen nation. Now, our forefathers did make a covenant with God, and that covenant does bring blessings when we obey God's commandments, and it brings curses when we disobey his commandments. And we have disobeyed the commandments of God. And God promises in his word to judge any nation that violates his precepts. I warned about this in 1989 and in or 1990 when I preached a sermon at this church warning that this nation was going to experience the judgment of God if we didn't turn and repent. Sadly, we haven't repented until now. 911 was a wake-up call to turn us back to God. It was a call for His church to fall on our faces and cry out on behalf of this nation. Oh God, may this nation once again serve You. May this nation once again honor You. May this nation once again fear Your name and obey Your commandments. May we once again have pastors and political leaders who will call this nation to repent before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. May we turn to God and serve Him with all of our hearts, all of our souls, all of our strength, with our whole being. And we need to do that today, because really, as a nation, we haven't repented. Certainly people prayed God bless America, but God doesn't bless nations that pray or that sing God bless America or God bless their nation. God blesses nations that obey His commandments, and He curses nations that disobey His commandments. And we're going to look at that opening passage from Psalm 127. We're also going to look at some of the sins of this nation that we need to repent of, that we need to turn back to God from our wicked ways and back to God. A song of ascent, Psalm 127 of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so He gives His beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. And this is that passage that talks about the Lord. Unless the Lord guard the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Certainly, we should do everything we can to preserve our nation. We should have a strong military. We should actually have trained forces. But our defense does not rest in our military. Our defense rests in God Almighty, who has the power for one person to chase 1,000, or for 1,000 to flee from one person, based on whether that nation or that people are obeying Him or disobeying Him. And we're going to look at the sins of this nation. And certainly, when we talk about the sins of this nation, we need to realize that this nation has a strong history of repentance and even calling for times of repentance and even turning back to God. And we have had two great awakenings in this nation, and it is time that we need another great awakening, because we have allowed ourselves to stray from His commandments. You see, one of the things that happens in nations is that a nation receives God's judgment if they disobey God. And in God's judgment, that judgment either destroys that people or suppresses wickedness, or it might, if they are inclined, if God's grace is upon them, that nation, with God's blessing, will repent of their sin and turn from their wicked way. As they're experiencing God's judgment, they will turn from that judgment, and they will repent of their sins, and they will turn back to God. that will bring about God's blessings. And God's blessings then bring a time of peace and of rest. And what happens quite often is people forget that the blessings come from God. They forget that the blessings are there because of obedience to God. And people become apathetic and stop pressing in and stop pushing for righteousness and for what God has called us unto. And what you see is that out of apathy, that leads to allow sin to creep in. And the people start to move away from God and to commit sin and to violate his commandments. And then what happens is that sin brings about God's judgment. And the cycle starts all over again. So we're going to look here at the sins of America. One of the things, this happened over 100 years ago, we actually replaced the idea that God created the heavens and the earth, and everything that we see, our intricate bodies, in fact, every one of us, is formed and knit in our mother's wombs by God. We're created in his image. We replace that with the idea that there was nothing, and somehow there was an explosion, and out of nothing, through random chance and mutation, somehow everything that we see, all of the intricacies of this universe, actually came into being. It's really preposterous to, you know, if you were to go out in your driveway and look at your vehicle, it would be preposterous for someone to think that there was an explosion in an automobile factory and somehow the car came together perfectly. But even that would necessitate the existence of the parts to begin with. I remember in school growing up, listening to in a biology class, and the teacher was not a Christian, but he said, "We know how to make an amoeba. We just can't make it live. It's missing something, perhaps life itself." And this the two worldviews, really, this is the root of all of the issues. Because if God is the creator, if God is your creator and my creator, then we are obligated to follow his commandments and his precepts. If we rather happened by chance, by genetic mutation, random occurrence, and we're not created in God's image, and in fact, if we can actually determine what is right and wrong, and if someone out there believes it's right to go into a school and shoot up his classmates or his teachers, or if someone believes that it's right to rape someone, if someone believes that it's right to go out and commit murder, to go to their workplace and kill people, or to go to a concert or a movie theater and kill people, who's to say that they're wrong? If there are no moral absolutes, how can we determine what is right and what is wrong? It is only when we recognize that there is a God, that he is in charge, that he has established moral laws, that he has shown how we should live, that we actually can turn and live our lives in such a way that we realize that we are not supposed to kill, that we are not supposed to rape, that we are not supposed to pillage, that we are not supposed to steal, that we are not supposed to violate his commandments and his precepts. In 1962, in Engle versus Vitale, the U.S. Supreme Court removed prayer from public schools. In 1963, in Abington versus Shimp, the U.S. Supreme Court also removed the Bible from education of children in public schools. Now, in this nation, public schools were actually founded by the Puritans. Long before the founding era, the Puritans actually invented or created public schools because they wanted every child to learn how to read so that every child could read the Bible. And what you actually see, the Bible was actually the primary reading book in schools. And in fact, at the founding of the country, when the Constitution was penned, the Bible was the primary reading book in public schools. And when the Bill of Rights, that First Amendment that some people believe should exclude, and the Supreme Court ruled, removed the Bible and prayer from schools because of that First Amendment. Well, when that First Amendment was passed, the Bible was in the primary reading book in schools, and the Bible continued to be in schools and to be used in schools until this Supreme Court case of 1963. And we have seen a lot of change since then. One of the things we have actually preached many sermons applying biblical principles to government, recently just went over that in six parts, the applying biblical principles to government. And we quoted not only from the Bible, but also from our founding fathers, where the founding fathers actually talked about how futile it would be to have a country or to try to have a country that would live according to God's commandments and according to what is right without that country being a religious country. Many of them even said without that country being a Christian country. And yet you have the Supreme Court removing prayer and the Bible from public schools. And really what you see is with the removal of the Bible and prayer, you start to see people doing what is right in their own eyes. And so in the 1960s, we actually saw the sexual revolution. People deciding, well, I can do whatever I want to do with whomever I want to do. As long as it's consensual, it's okay. There's no consequences. Of course, we know that there are consequences. Some of those consequences are preborn children, babies that are said to be unwanted. Human beings created in the image of God who have done nothing wrong. Yet with state after state, a few states starting in 1967, passing laws legalizing abortion. And then in 1973, the Roe versus Wade and Doe versus Bolden cases that legalized abortion in all 50 states. Really, it's just an opinion. Abortion was only made legal in those states because the states went along with this tyrannical Supreme Court that actually was ruling that human beings created in God's image that had done nothing worthy of death should be executed. So you see this happening in America. We have also seen pornography, lust, and continually pushing of more and more indiscretion. And in the age of the internet, in the age of cell phones that are smartphones, people have access to pornography on their phone at all times. And many people in this country, even many people in church, are addicted to pornography. And this is sin. We need to repent of our sins. In 1980, in Stone versus Graham, the U.S. Supreme Court, which has the Ten Commandments engraved on its doors and above where they sit, actually removed the Ten Commandments from public schools. And they did so stating that if the Ten Commandments are in public schools, that kids might actually look upon the words, venerate them, and obey them. And wouldn't it be horrible if children started honoring their parents? If they didn't kill one another, if they didn't steal from one another, if they didn't commit fornication, which is a violation of the seventh commandment, wouldn't that be horrible? Obviously, I'm being facetious there. We should want our children to uphold the principles of the Ten Commandments. In 2003, in Lawrence versus Texas, the U.S. Supreme Court expanded the right to privacy, a right that they actually is not in the U.S. Constitution, but a right that actually they invented through a series of cases leading up to Roe versus Wade. And they actually found it in what they called the penumbras and emanations of the Bill of Rights, which really means it's not there, but we're going to try to say it's there. And they came up with this right to privacy. They ruled in Lawrence versus Texas in 2003 that this included homosexuality. And then in 2003, we had Governor Romney, who a few years later, Republicans would tell us he's the savior and we need to vote for him. He actually was governor in the state of Massachusetts. And in Goodrich versus the Department of Health, you see actually a case where the Supreme Court of Massachusetts ruled that their law that prohibited homosexual marriage was not constitutional, and ordered the legislature to come together and to change the law. The legislature didn't do that, so Governor Romney took it upon himself to legislate from the executive branch through an executive order legalizing homosexual marriage. And the Supreme Court also has since ruled that states, because what happened is that many states, including very liberal states, including California and Hawaii, actually passed constitutional amendments defining marriage between one man and one woman, and the U.S. Supreme Court actually ruled that these constitutional amendments were unconstitutional. Then under Barack Obama, we actually had the Obama administration ordering schools to allow boys to go into girls' bathrooms. And we've had in some states state legislators saying that businesses need to allow men to go into women's bathrooms or vice versa. And so you have really a situation where sometimes you have even pedophiles going into women's bathrooms or sexual predators going into women's bathrooms. We also have seen really the mutilation of children in America with this, and sometimes even where schools, including vice presidential candidate Walsh in his state, teachers can actually tell a young person, or counselors at a school can actually counsel a young person, well, maybe you're a boy, maybe you're not a girl, maybe you're a girl, maybe you're not a boy. And these young children can actually go and have a sex change operation without the parents' knowledge. And we see this happening in various states in this nation. We also have seen actually really a pushing of abortion. And one of the things that we have seen in this nation is we have seen the Dobbs decision, which did send the abortion issue back to the states. And some states have ruled to protect life, and other states have moved further to the left and have actually said, we're going to allow abortion all the way up until the moment of birth. Even in the state of Florida, we have a proposed amendment on the ballot in November that, if passed, will allow abortion all the way up until the moment of birth. That's Amendment 4. We want to encourage you to vote no on Amendment 4. We have seen a breakdown, actually, of families in this nation to the point where many children today grow up without a father in the home, and a father plays a vital role in the home. Many have served God in name, but really have worshipped money and have not sought first the kingdom of God. It's common to take the Lord's name in vain today, including OMG, which stands for Oh My God. And unless you are talking about God when you say that, you are taking God's name in vain. It's something that's so prevalent that many Christians do this as well. We have seen not honoring the Sabbath, not honoring your father and your mother. We've seen murder. We've seen stealing. We've seen bearing false witness, coveting, even a whole political party that's based on coveting what the rich have. Be glad for what the rich have and work and be diligent so that you can be blessed as well. We've seen lawlessness in our nation. We need to turn back to God. One of the things that we see is that the Bible, prayer, and the Ten Commandments have not only been removed from schools, but they've also been removed from churches and from homes. Many, many people don't have a biblical worldview today. Many churches don't preach the entire Word of God, but only those select passages that they actually believe are that will get them more followers and more people coming to their church. One of the things that we need to do, we need to turn back to God. We need to repent of our sins. We need to cry out to Him and repent of our sins, to turn from our wicked ways and to serve Him. It is only when we do this that we will once again receive the blessings of God on this nation. The only way to make America great again is not to elect President Trump. The way to make America great again is to repent of our sins, turn back to God, and cry out to Him so that America can once again receive God's blessings. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
Before God created civil government, He created family. Before He created even the church, God created family. Families play a vital role in training the next generation. Commit today to nurturing and supporting families, especially your own. Families that are committed to God and each other can play a vital role in transforming our churches, cities, states, and nation.
Fire fall down.